Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to see all of you here on this beautiful fall day. We're happy that you are worshiping with us, and we hope that if you're visiting, that you will find a blessing. And I ask that all of you will fill out the attendance pads, which are on the end of each row. Fill them out so we can have a record of everyone's attendance. If you would, look on the back page of your bulletin for all of the announcements. We have quite a few things going on in the church as usual. Today is the last day. If you know someone that wants to play boys and girls basketball, so if you're interested or know somebody that would like to play, you can contact Diane Wright by email and get on the team. They need everyone. The pumpkin patch is going well. I'm not sure if you drove through that way, but the pumpkins are shrinking, but there's still quite a few of them out there, so if you'd like a pumpkin, be sure to pick one up, and the youth and the ACCDC will be very appreciative of that. Thank you to all of you that have turned in your commitment card. If you have not done so, please do that today. We need them as soon as possible to finalize our 2019 budget. If you have not done that, there are some out in the narthex that you can pick up. Today is Stone Soup down at Quapaw United Methodist Church, so come and be a blessing to those who need a blessing. The family-to-family boxes are now available in the back of the Wilson Activity Center, and they are due back on November 25th, so please take one if you're able, or take a couple. We always have a great response to that. Terrific Tuesday will be on November 6th, and you won't want to miss this one because it's the Garth Travis Band, including our own Todd Mead, and they will be playing during this luncheon time, so please mark that on your calendar for November 6th. And check out all the other announcements that are in the bulletin. And now I ask you to stand and greet each other and pass the peace of Christ. And join me in the call to worship. It's in your bulletin. In the name of Jesus, I have good news for you.
Let all the people receive this word.
We have proof of God's unconditional love for us.
While we were sinning, Christ died for us.
That proves God's love for us.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
And now let's join in the hymn of praise, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, number 110 in your hymnal.
Thank you.
remain standing for our affirmation of faith found in your bulletin. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
I wanted to ask you a question. What do you do when you get really excited about something? When something really good happens, what are some things that you do? You go crazy. How do you go crazy? What does that mean? Like you jump up and down? Shout? What do you do? What do you do? What do you think people in these robes and up there do? Sing. Yeah, we love to sing. And so sometimes we get really excited about something, we love to sing. And Pastor Mary is going to tell us today in her scriptures about Psalm 96. Psalms are a whole bunch of songs. There's all songs. People that sang for, sometimes they're happy songs and sometimes they're sad songs, but a lot of the songs we can still learn something from. And in 96, that starts out with how many things we sing about things that God has done for us that's really good for us. Things that we are getting really excited about because either he gave us some great sunshine to play, or because he gave us Jesus, or because he first loved us. All of those things that we are really excited about, we sing back to God. And so that's just, one is just offering praises up to him. But it doesn't end there. It also says that we declare our song and praises to all the nations. So the second thing is, it's not just a song between us and God, which is awesome. And he loves to hear that. He loves it when we sing real loud, even if we're not in tune like my husband. He doesn't know how to sing. But that's okay. God doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if we're in tune or if we know what pitch means. He just loves to hear our voices. But the second thing is, he likes when we sing songs, we share that to everyone who hears us, to all of our neighbors. And they get to see what the cool things God is doing in our lives and maybe even what he's done for them. And then the third thing that songs do is they connect us to each other. For one, you might have friends that are in the next neighborhood or in the next city or the next state, or even across the world, who are singing the same songs that you are, and it connects them all you together, where you're singing the same song, even the people who wrote it. People who wrote these songs wrote them, they're real people, they live before you, but they're experiencing some of the same things you're experiencing, and it connects you to them. So we sing songs because we get really excited, right? One is, in summary, one point, is we sing songs to God to thank him and praise him for what he does for us and all the good things we do. It spills out to all of our neighbors that are around us that are hearing us singing these songs, and it connects us to everyone else who's singing them, both in the past and the present. What do you think? There's a lot in songs, huh? It's more than just one thing. So when you get really excited and you want to sing and shout really loud, I encourage you to do that, because one, God loves it and he hears it, and everyone around it can see your joy too. Okay, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for music and words and song, and for us to be with you and to get to share your joy with all those all around us. In your name we pray. Amen.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine. Only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Able to speak it all, I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
And
like to draw your attention to the prayer requests on the back of your bulletin. Please lift up Charlie Ward Sr., Mary Jane Patton, Marilyn Thompson, Anita Curtis, Helen Albright, Laura Stinnett, Clifford Smith, Larry Brown, and the MacArthur family. Let us pray. Our most loving and gracious Heavenly Father, we fall before you this morning asking you to have mercy on us, your children, and be with us as we go throughout our lives this week. When we come before you, we are in such awe of your majesty, your greatness, and your glory. Truly, how great thou art. Lord, we lift up to you a country that is hurting. This country has been blessed by you since its foundation. But today, it seems like we've lost sight of the great Creator. Speak to us. Instill in us the words to say and the actions we need to show to turn this nation back to you. We are all your creation. Help us to never forget that. Let us embrace the differences in your people as well as our similarities, for we all are precious in your sight. Father, we pray for the sick and the homeless this morning. There are so many needs in this world that sometimes it seems there's nothing that we can do to change things. Show us, your church, the part you would have us play in helping those in need, to extend a loving hand or a hot meal, and to show the love you first showed us. We pray all of this in your name, who taught us to pray together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us pray and ask God to bless our morning offering. Gracious God, we thank you for being our great provider, seeing to our needs daily, as you promise in your word. Bless our tithes and offerings this morning, so we may help to provide for the needs of others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in his arms. In the arms of my dear Savior, oh, there are 10,000 charms. Teach me some melodious sonnet, some my flaming dogs among. Raise a doubt, I'm fixed upon it, mount up thy redeeming.
remain standing for our hymn of meditation, The Church's One Foundation, on page 545.
Morning. If you'd like to follow along in your pew Bibles, or if you brought your own Bible, I invite you to hear this word of God as we find it in the 96th Psalm, verses 1 through 9. May the people of God always, always be blessed in this reading and hearing of God's holy word. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in holy array. Tremble before him all the earth. The word of God for the people of God. This 96th Psalm was my father's favorite scripture because there was nothing that he loved to do more in all the world than to sing. It didn't matter what season it was, season of his life, season of the year, you could hear a song being sung when he was in the house. He was, some Sundays, the only tenor carrying down the tenor section in the choir, but he was always the lead tenor. He sang not only in the church choir for decades, but he also sang in the community theater plays. And later on in life, he also sang in an ensemble called the Men About Town. He loved to sing. My mother also loved to sing, also sang in the choir. And in her younger teaching years, she was the Girls Glee Club choir director. So it was only fitting at her service when I finished the message that a small ensemble sang, "The Lord be with you till we meet again." So I guess I come by it naturally, this love for music. I've told both Caleb, our praise and worship leader, and Diana a long time ago, I said, I know just enough music to be annoying. So I come by it naturally, this love of music. And when Tony and I were first started dating, we began to glean some things from one another's high school years, things that we had enjoyed doing, maybe some things that we even had in common. And one of the things that we discovered is that we, in high school, both were in the all-state choir. And we began to ask each other what years. And then we found out that we were there the same year. And so I got out something that's called a vinyl record album. Do you recall those? And on the back cover of this vinyl record album was Choir A, and there was my name, and there was Tony's, in the same choir years before we ever knew one another. So I hear some people say with regret, "I just can't carry a tune in a bucket." And you try to restrain yourself from nodding. And I always say, "But God doesn't care about that." I would never say that to Amber Singleton, because we do care. She sang beautifully. But God says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." But I know, as one who loves to sing and knows how to sing somewhat, that it must somewhat grieve people who don't feel like they can sing, who feel or know they are sometimes off key. And I understand that, because I play the flute and I play the piano, and I do not do either one of them very well. So I understand that desire to be able to do better with whatever talent it may be. In the Bible, we have several occasions that are extremely important where we find the monotone being developed into the melody of salvation history. For instance, Moses was a simple shepherd. How boring a job could that possibly be? You watch sheep, you herd sheep, you do your best to keep them out of the danger zones. But here was God taking a simple shepherd named Moses and equipped him, as he called him, to be the deliverer of the Hebrew people out of Egypt. Equipping him to handle powerful Pharaoh, equipping him with a staff to be able to divide the Red Sea. And not only that, but allowing Moses to bring forth the Ten Commandments for the people to follow. And with the icing on the cake of all of that, Moses was allowed to see God face to face. And the Bible will tell us from time to time to see God face to face, but they did not die. I would imagine the glory and awe and power of God would be enough to make someone keel over, for no one would be able to hold the power and glory such as God. Then there was Moses' successor, Joshua. Joshua was basically the understudy. But here was Joshua allowed to take the Israelites parting again, this time the Jordan River. But not only that, God equipped Joshua to have a role as a warrior. And they marched around in an ordinary fashion, 7 times around a building. But it wasn't ordinary. It became extraordinary as God allowed, with his mighty power, the walls of Jericho come tumbling down. Then, of course, one we will be talking about quite a bit in just a few weeks, Mary. Mary, a peasant Jewish girl, had not lived anything but an ordinary life. Perhaps doing a Jewish chant, going to the well one day to do her chores. And that Jewish chant turned into what we know as the Magnificat, Matthew 1. Where she was chosen to be the very mother of the Son of God. Monotone to melody, ordinary to extraordinary, mundane to majestic. Then let's don't forget the life of the Canaanite woman, an ordinary pagan woman. From a pagan country where idols were rampant. They did not know the one true God. But she hears of this Jesus. And she finds this Jesus. And she says, I desire you to help me to heal my son. And Jesus says, but child, I came for the Israelite children. And here this wisdom and this tenacity and this perseverance of faith. But even the dogs get to gather the crumbs under thy table. And suddenly there's a melody, a joyous melody, as Jesus sings her praises. This pagan woman. As there's been transformation in heart and soul through her faith. As he says, never have I met such faith. Go, your son is healed. Lazarus died. People die every day. Ordinary event, death. Not so ordinary when it happens to someone we love, someone we care about, some innocent person we may not even know. But it is a fact of life until Jesus got a hold of it. Stone-sealed tomb. The ordinary command to remove the stone provided the extraordinary act of resurrection. At the command of Jesus' voice, Lazarus, Lazarus, come out. He came walking out like a living mummy, full of life and breath. Full of new life and the breath of God. A little boy whistles up a hillside as he's walking up that hill. He can't wait to hear and see this Jesus. And it's just an ordinary day. But the extraordinary is about to happen as The Messiah takes his lunch and creates a miracle. The little boy would whistle a melody for a lifetime. Point is, I think you and I get caught up a lot. That we have to produce miracle after miracle, success after success, without remembering it's just simply not on us. I mean, we put tremendous pressure on ourselves to hit the sermon out of the ballpark, to have a more beautiful anthem performed than the Sunday before. To raise the attendance numbers in our worship service greater than they were the Sunday before or this time last year. While all those things are important, they really have nothing to do with producing miracles of faith. They are mundane in the eyes of God. What God wants is for us to remember it's not on us to deliver. We say, I trust, and God will deliver. God simply wants us to be obedient, worshipful, thankful servants with servant hearts. And God will take care of the rest. We must believe that. We must come to worship and remember that God will take care of us. There's not a person in this room that's not hurting desperately from something. God knows that, and God will deliver us from that. We come to worship hands down, hands raised up, trusting God, believing God, who has delivered you and me from our past, is with us in our present, and will deliver us in our future. Amen. Every morning I wake up and the first thing I do is pray. That sounds so holy, but it's really not. It's just a prayer on my lips. Thank you, God, for taking me and my family safely through the night, because there are those refugees that are trying to find where it is they can be safe through the night. And I go and I get my cup of coffee because I'm worthless without it. And my prayers, I was in a moment, dear. I'm going to have to teach you, oh dear choir members who sit on either side of my husband on any given Sunday, to stifle him. Where was I? Coffee. I need some now. You really ruined the moment. But God is good, and I trust God, and he's going to bring it back to me. No, I do. I sit down with my coffee, and any of you that follow me on Facebook know that one of the first things I do is write my devotional thought. And I just call it a thought because it may not be an eloquent thought. It may be an empty thought. It's just a thought. But you see, it's not just a thought, because I never write that devotional that I don't go to God first and I say, oh God, in your mercy, fill me with your thought to deliver to your people today. And I trust that God touches one reader through his thought, and I'm just the vessel. Taking monotone Mary, don't you see, to melodious Messiah and Maker. We love our churches. We're very passionate about our churches. We're very passionate about our traditions. And passion is great, but passion for things is not particularly, even if things or practices, are not particularly what God desires. What God desires is passion for bringing others to know his son, Jesus Christ. In ministry, there's the passion. Because sometimes we can get so caught up in our things and in our practices that we allow them to become barriers from transitioning into the need of our transitional culture around us. There are people in this sanctuary right now that remember when this service was packed. And while that may be hurtful, it's not all on us that people are still not packing these pews on any given Sunday. People aren't worshiping the Lord God like they used to worship in my generation. But you see, it still is on us a little bit because we all know someone that we could have called and said, hey, won't you come and worship with me today? And you say, oh no, everybody I know has a church. Having a church and going to church aren't the same thing. Maybe someone would be tickled to death if you said, wow, I'd love for you to worship with me. I'd love to be sitting next beside you in prayer and singing together and worshiping together. You see the difference? I mean, we've got some positive changes going on here in which we are trying to be the church outside of the walls of Asbury, because that's who God calls us to be as his disciples in Jesus Christ. This afternoon is Stone Soup. I plan to go. Feeding the homeless at Quapaw Quarter. It'd be great to see you there. And then the food pantry that was birthed from these walls just a couple of years ago, and the patronage of that every week is wonderful. We hear their stories. We don't just give food. We help in other ways. The expansion of ACCDC. When I got here, the hours that were established were not that conducive to working families today because, again, the culture has changed than when ACCDC was first conceived. And now it's open for two-paycheck families in order to accommodate their children for childcare. And it's expanded to have infant care because that's so very, very important to do. So we're continuing to outreach. The festivals, all of our festivals that we have are now outside. And the music that we always have at the festivals, you see, draw people. They hear it. They are attracted. They want to come see what's going on at that church that I know where it is. It's somewhere in my neighborhood. Flanders Smith, Hendricks College Choirs, when we host them, people are here that might not be here otherwise. Apartment visitation, we have apartments all around us, and we have visited those. And we've even brought in a couple of members from those visitations. Wow, that's a church on the move. That's a church that cares. They don't know me, but they're out reaching out to people. I might like to try that church. They seem to have it going on. Supporting nearby schools with supplies and snacks, working Arkansas Food Bank, doing Habitat for Humanity projects. The list goes on because we're not doing ministry just within the walls of Asbury. We're outreaching. We're taking the monotone and making a melody of Jesus Christ. Before we start patting ourselves on the back, there's always more to do. So let's follow God, not the world, and find out what God wants us to do. The Bible constantly shows us that through his people, that following God is not boring. Following God is abundant. Abundant opportunity, abundant grace, abundant love. We must allow God to work in us. For to deny God that opportunity, I truly believe, is a sin. God is right here with you, right beside you, right within you. And he's saying, come on, together we can do something really terrific. There's power when we yield to God. There's things you and I are trying to figure out, and we are so limited in our energy. We are so limited in our understanding. We are so limited in our wisdom, and you and I are trying to figure it out on our own. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. We need God, and God is there ready to yield and give us his power. Years ago, a liturgist in another church I served was ready to announce the middle hymn and said, "I'd like for you all to stand for our hymn of medication." Did you hear that? Hymn of medication. I'm afraid he was kind of on the mark. Sometimes we approach our worship as if we're medicated. It's boring. It's routine. It's like getting up in the morning and taking your pill. How have we allowed worship to become that? Our lives are meant and are created to experience the miraculous, not the mundane. The mystical, not the monotonous. So what do you think is pretty ordinary in what you're doing right now for Jesus? And what is it that you think that the Lord could use you to create a miracle? Because we have to quit thinking of miracles as being able to part the Red Sea. We need to understand that miracles are right there in front of us all the time, and we are the ministers of those miracles. Because God is, again, waiting to yield us his power. Now, I want to close on this final warning. Ask God to use you for the extraordinary, and get ready. Because God always answers our requests. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our hymn of commitment is Marching to Zion, 733. As always, if there are those here today who would like to unite with this church in any of the ways we receive members, we would be delighted to have you come into our church family. And as always, God loves it when we humble ourselves, get on our knees, and pray before his throne of glory. So if you'd like to come forward and to pray, this is the time to do that as well. Let us be standing as we sing Marching to Zion, 733. It's been wonderful to worship with you today. So wonderful. Next Sunday, I would be remiss if I didn't mention this, is a very special Sunday in the life of a Christian. It is All Saints Sunday. It is a time when we remember our eternal connection to the saints. All of us have saints in our lives who have gone on before us, some within this last year. We will be remembering 16 from this church who have gone on to the church triumphant. We'll be having an opportunity not only to partake of Holy Communion, but to light a candle for someone who has been a saint in your life. So I hope that you'll plan to be here at either 8:30 or 10:45 next Sunday as we remember the saints of God. Please receive this blessing. And now, O God, you have truly called us to the melody of life, the song of life. May we go forward with a song on our lips of praise to you as we extend the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit this day and forevermore. Amen.